Keith.
Yes, Dad?
There's a dinner party tomorrow night.
Now, Dad?
I know you hate him, but there are going to be some important men there.
Who is he?
He's got an eye out for a young man for an assistant in his practice.
Plush, big city office. Office hours from 10 to 4. Do not disturb between times.
It's a good practice, a lucrative one.
Dad, that's not my idea of being a doctor. I want to go to people who need a doctor.
The old calling bit, huh?
Dad, I'm sorry. You've never understood. Mom would.
Yes, I suppose she would. She was great on calls from God.
I believe I'm as called of God to be a doctor as many are to preach. I've got to go where I'm needed, Dad. I've been thinking of the mountains.
The what?
The Ozarks. Some of those mountain communities don't have a doctor for miles. I'm sorry, Dad, that you don't understand.
From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. It was spring in the Ozarks. The dogwood peppered the mountainsides, and the wild flowers were pushing their blooms up through the underbrush. After a long winter, spring was a welcome sight to Dr. Keith Blake and his wife, Elizabeth. 5 springs had come since this young Christian doctor had answered God's call to minister to the mountain people. Although not missionaries in the sense that they preached and taught, this young couple had seen many conversions as a result of their testimony to these Ozark people.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth! A letter from Dad. He's flying to the West Coast and has a scheduled stop at Rock Hill Station. He'll arrive here tomorrow afternoon late to spend a few hours before continuing his flight.
Keith, that's wonderful. Almost a coincidence. Why, only last night we were praying for him.
I only wish it were going to be a few days instead of hours.
In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye.
You're right, Elizabeth. God can work a miracle.
Keith Blake had disappointed his doctor father 5 years before when he left his comfortable home in an eastern city to open a practice in this out-of-the-way community. Being a materially minded man, the elder Dr. Blake could not understand a calling such as Keith's, a calling that would choose poverty over riches. Keith well recalled the last encounter he'd had with his dad.
Keith?
Yes, Dad?
Do you have your appointment book with you?
Well, no. Why?
I've been trying to talk to you for 3 days, so if you'd check your appointment book...
Oh, Dad, it hasn't been that bad, has it?
You've been off to medical school for most of the year. You're going into your internship in a few weeks, and I'd like to have at least a chat with you.
Okay, here I am. And honest, Dad, I'm sorry.
All right. There's a dinner party tomorrow night.
Now, Dad?
I know you hate him, but there are going to be some important men there.
Who is he?
He's got an eye out for a young man for an assistant in his practice.
Plush, big city office. Office hours from 10 to 4. Do not disturb between times.
It's a good practice. A lucrative one.
Dad, that's not my idea of being a doctor. I want to go to people who need a doctor.
The old calling bit, huh?
Dad, I'm sorry. You've never understood. Mom would.
I suppose she would. She was great on calls from God.
I believe I'm as called of God to be a doctor as many are to preach. I've got to go where I'm needed, Dad. I've been thinking of the mountains.
The what?
The Ozarks. Some of those mountain communities don't have a doctor for miles. I'm sorry, Dad, that you don't understand.
Yes, Keith remembered, and the coldness that came between them in the intervening years. However, this feeling was momentarily dispelled on the following day when Keith met his father at the airport and drove him up the mountain to their home. Elizabeth had prepared a special meal.
Ah, a most delicious meal, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you. Another piece of apple
pie. Oh, no, thank you, dear.
No, not for me either.
Keith, I had a special reason for stopping by here tonight. I'm not getting any younger, you know. My life's desire has been to travel. I've had a successful practice in Boston. In fact, in the past few years, it's grown considerably. But I'm thinking of retiring. And I want you to come back to Boston and take over my practice.
But, Dad, my practice is here.
Nonsense, son. You've had enough of this pioneering. Come back east. My practice needs a reliable young doctor.
I'm proud that you would offer me the position. But, Dad, these people here need us worse than your practice in the east.
Now, look, Keith, you're young and talented. You're wasting your life on these ignorant people.
But, Dad, they have souls and sick bodies.
There are people in Boston who need your skills too, my son. What difference does it make?
There is a difference, Dad. God has called me here.
I can't understand.
Dad, it's easy to understand. If you know Christ as your personal savior.
I'll get it. Ed Potter, what's wrong?
Sure hate to pester you, Miss Blake, but I'm afraid Pa needs the doc again. He got into another scrape and he's cut up real bad.
Well, he's busy right now.
It's all right, Elizabeth. Is he conscious, Ed?
He was, but then he conked out again. Doc, I know it's a lot to bother, but I wish you would come.
Well, give me half an hour and I'll be at your place.
Oh, dear. This ruins your talk with your father.
Wouldn't you know? Potter would get on another drunk. I must go, Dad. I just got a call to see a man up the mountain a little ways. In case I don't get back tonight, I'll see you at breakfast in the morning. Enjoy this mountain air tonight.
That's a doctor's life.
Hope you sleep well. Good night.
Good night, dear.
Good night. No office hours, I suppose.
He tries to have, but...
Keith's killing himself. He's aged 10 years in the last 5. And you need a rest. You two deserve the best. A nice home. Elizabeth, can't you see it?
I can see the human advantage, yes. But Keith would never be happy in Boston. The Lord's been so good to us here. He's given us a fruitful ministry.
That's the trouble with both of you. You've got too much religion.
I can't imagine.
Doc Blake, Miss Blake, come quick. Ma's hurt.
Joey, what happened?
The horse throwed her. She screamed. Now she's so still. Please tell Doc Blake to come quick.
Oh, dear, he's gone. Dad, would you be willing to go down the road with me and see Mrs. Keenum?
Well, yes, of course. I'm still a doctor.
Grabbing his case, Dr. Blake followed Elizabeth and little Joy down the winding road to the junction. Here they left the main road and followed a path to a small but well-kept mountain home hidden in a grove of huge trees. Garden flowers lined the crudely laid brick walk in front of the house. The threesome hurried up to the wooden steps and across the clean-swept porch into the house. They were met by a group of solemn faces. Mrs. Keenum's strained face at once revealed the seriousness of the situation. There were the children with the tear-stained faces, all turned with hopeful glances at the three entering the room.
Mr. Keenum, this is Dr. Blake, my husband's father. Keith wasn't home when Joey came.
Pleased to meet you, Doc. Thank God you're here. The Lord always provides. Doc, she's in here.
Come, Elizabeth, I may need you.
When she fell to the ground, her head hit a stone. She came to for a minute, but before we got her to the house, she was out again.
I see. Sounds like a concussion.
Is it bad, Doc? She's not...
It's rather serious, Mr. Keenum, but let me examine her more closely before I make any predictions.
I'd better go to the front room with the kids. They're so young and frightened. Oh, poor thing.
Now, let me see here. Oh. Look, Elizabeth, she's coming too. Good, I can test her reflexes.
Oh, my legs. I can't move my legs.
Yes, what I expected. Partial paralysis.
Oh, and she's fainted again.
Elizabeth watched the color come and go in Dr. Blake's face as he examined the motionless woman. Why did he seem so fearful? He had been faced with hundreds of other critical cases. His hands were shaking as he took from his case the stethoscope and listened for the heartbeat. Cold sweat stood on his forehead as he turned to Elizabeth.
Her heart has stopped. There's no use. There's nothing I can do except possibly make an incision and massage the heart. No, I can't operate. There's no use. I'll tell Keenum to come in, and then
dear
I'll just...
Jesus, we know you can make her ma well. Please do, for Christ's sake. Oh, Doc, Ma's going to get well, isn't she?
I'm going to operate. I need some hot water.
His skillful hands moved rapidly as he performed the delicate incision. Again, Elizabeth watched. It was a battle. Dr. Blake worked earnestly. Consternation, then fear swept his face. Suddenly, he looked amazed.
Elizabeth? She's rallying. Yes. Why, I could have sworn she was gone. This is a miracle. Now, hand me that instrument. That's it.
I can feel her pulse now.
Good. She might make it yet.
Mr. Keenum, she's rallied. She'll pull through.
Thank God.
I can't explain it. It's miraculous, that's all.
Doc, I know she'd get well, 'cause we prayed and believed. You believe in Jesus, don't you, Doc?
Well, I've not been one for religion up till now. But I'm thinking I need to do some reconsidering.
I could show you how. It's as simple as anything to accept Jesus as your Savior.
Well, all right. Suppose you do that.
Looks like this is our day for miracles. Our Lord truly works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Those heard in the cast were Judy Stewart, Bob Harris, Gerald Priest, and Tom Wallace. Music and sound effects were handled by Jim Martin and John Pauza. Production assistant was Mike Michelson, and recording engineer was Corbin Tabler. Today's script was written by Judith Glenn Burke and directed by Laura Pratt. This is Charles Britt. Miracles is a Bob Jones University production.